May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. An epiphany, an aha moment, a revelation, before and after moment, when sudden insight occurs, a moment of truth that can change your life. Our scripture this morning is about epiphanies. John the Baptist had one, Andrew had one, Peter had one, had eye-opening encounters with Jesus. And we can have them too. I grew up in a Christian family. My father was not a pastor. All of my brothers, though, we all became pastors. We went to church every Sunday. We even showed up one time when the snow had closed every church in the community south of Baltimore. But we were there with the pastor, and he said, "I guess we're not having church today." And I said, "Why am I here?" Because my father was there. Yeah, I went to Sunday school, went to Lutheran Elementary School. It was a good experience. I would say I was a Christian. I was a believer. Now, what I'm about to say can be completely misunderstood. From the outset, let me say you do not have to have an emotional experience to be an authentically, truly Christian person. You do not have to have that. In fact, for a lot of Lutherans, they don't have many emotions at all. They're still Christian. Well, but there is a contrast to one who knows all the facts about Jesus Christ, who goes to church, does good things, repents of their sins, but they don't have truly a relationship with Jesus. In my overseas study semester in Germany when I was a junior in college, I had an epiphany. I was a deeply flawed person. In many ways, I was a hypocrite. I won't go into that, but you'll have to take it that that was me. When Jesus opened my eyes by the Holy Spirit, and I saw things in an entirely different way, in my case, my reaction was that I really needed to pursue the ministry, to become a pastor. That's not everybody. It's not most people, right? But for me, that's what I was seeing. And I began to see that you can know Jesus, not just know about him. That was the epiphany for me. And like any friend, Jesus is there in the good times and the bad times. Now in the most painful part of my life, there he is. He comes to me in the most surprising ways. Many times through you who are sitting right here today, you bring Jesus to me. I see him in you. John the Baptist had an epiphany. You know, there is a discernible pattern in these epiphanies in the scripture. Usually three things are going on. First, you see Jesus. Now, what I mean by that is we don't actually physically see him. John the Baptist did, but we don't. What I mean is we see him. We see how important he is. We see that he was a true person, he was a true Savior and Lord. We see Jesus. John says he saw him when the Spirit came down on a dove and descended upon Jesus. So the first thing is we see Jesus. The second, John shows Jesus to others. In the presence of his disciples, he, speaking of Jesus, says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He showed others Jesus. And thirdly, he shares his own experiences with Jesus. John is sharing, saying that he at first did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. and that his baptizing of people was calling them to repentance, to reveal Jesus to Israel. That was his experience. Now we see Andrew, a disciple of Jesus, with these same aspects. He sees Jesus, he shows Jesus to others, and he shares his experience with Jesus. Kind of an interesting twist with Andrew, because he had a famous brother. His brother was Peter, Simon Peter, right? The Bible tells us that there are many sets of brothers. Usually they're contrasted with those who are following the Lord and those who are drifted away or against the Lord. Among the most famous are Cain and Abel, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, and also the disciples, James and John. He wanted his brother Peter to know about Jesus. It's an example to us all that we want our family members to know Jesus. I know that's your heart with a lot of you, because it's not so. That's one way I'm very blessed. All my family, my brothers and sisters, my parents, we're all believers. My children are all believers. My grandchildren better be. Yeah. I will haunt them. Andrew was previously a disciple of John the Baptist. It was John's testimony that made Andrew turn to Jesus. Andrew and the other disciple followed Jesus, and Jesus turns around and asks them, "What are you seeking? What are you looking for? What are you searching for? What do you want?" I'm sure he didn't say it quite like that. "What do you want?" And they respond, "Where are you staying?" Now this means a whole lot more than asking for a current address. It is more like asking, "What's it like to be with you? To be your disciple? Is there room for us? Will you accept us? Will you teach us?" They went with Jesus and spent a day with him. How exhilarating this must have been. Think about it. Sitting with Jesus. I imagine myself in this position. Sitting with Jesus, talking to him, asking questions. Some of you are watching the series Chosen, and you see that very approachable Jesus, and it's just... it makes your heart leap, you know, to think about it. I so envy the disciples. I wish I could have physically been with Jesus. Was not to be. And then Andrew goes to his brother and performs one of the most loving acts that anybody could ever do. He introduces his brother to Jesus. He brings Peter to Jesus. And thereafter, the two of them become disciples of Jesus, two of the 12. And they have epiphany after epiphany after epiphany. They see him heal the blind so they can see again, raise the dead. They got to see all of that. Can you imagine their eyes opening each time? Who is this man? You know, when you have a relationship with Jesus, the word grace becomes alive for you. You become much more aware of how needy you are. It is a common phenomenon that when one becomes a Christian or has an enlightenment, and that's what I'm talking about that I had, when one becomes a Christian, an enlightenment, it is a calling. We become acutely aware of our sin, and it can terrify us. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two boats. One of those boats belongs to Peter, and Jesus gets into Peter's boat, and he asks Peter to cast out a little bit, and he uses the boat as a pulpit to preach to and teach to the people who had gathered there. And after he's finished, Peter and his partners were washing their nets. He says to Peter, let's go out a little bit and you can drop your nets. Let's catch some fish. Peter mildly protests. He says, we've been out all night and we haven't caught anything. But you know, he's becoming enamored with Jesus at this point. And he does what Jesus says to do. When Peter lets down his nets, he catches such a large number of fish that his nets begin to break. So he signals his partner to come out with the other boat, and they catch so many fish that both boats are just about ready to sink. Simon Peter has this strange and not so strange reaction. He says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. It floods into him. I said it's a common phenomenon. It is. Peter would learn about himself. Just like those who would come later, they would see their sin, but then experience the grace of Jesus Christ. So what I ask myself, what is this scripture calling us to do? You know, if you read the Bible, you'll see you start in Genesis and you see the story of Abraham and the patriarchs, and they called on the name of the Lord. It says that they called on the name of the Lord. And then as you read further in the scripture, like in the Psalms and the prophets, it encouraged them to seek the Lord. And in the New Testament, it was to follow Jesus, to put your faith in him and trust in him and believe in him. Can't you just hear Jesus saying to you, come and see. Come and see. Come be with me. Put your trust in me. In me you will find forgiveness and purpose and joy and life itself. Please don't settle to be just an admirer of Jesus. That is, knowing about him, but not knowing him. Seek the Lord where he may be found. And where? In worship. In the Holy Supper. In prayer. In the Word of God. Among us who are fellowship together. In our small groups, or even here as we greet one another. Meet Jesus. And receive him. He is after a relationship with you. He has already chased you down. He's coming for you. He wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. And then, like any good disciple, friend of Jesus, we should do what Andrew did. You know, maybe it was the only gift that Andrew had, but what a gift. He introduced people to Jesus. Right? He introduced people to Jesus. He brought his brother to Jesus. Would be a great epitaph for Andrew's tombstone. He brought his brother to Jesus. Or for John the Baptist, he pointed people to Jesus. Right? Oh, that we could have a good epitaph for us. Something like that. Now listen carefully to this. Maybe it is a test of how much you love another person, whether or not you can share with them about Jesus. You know they need him, so why are we silent? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes away darkness. He takes away despair and hopelessness. It is a troubled world, but we can help others look beyond the enormity of their problems to the one who can handle any problem that we have. My great desire has always been for this church to be a place where people encounter Jesus, encounter him, and encounter the joy that he can bring and the hope that he brings. My wish is that all who call on the Savior and Lord and know they have a friend, Jesus is your friend. Let's bring them to Jesus. Let's bring them to Jesus and then see how he can change their life. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and always. Amen.